This episode is sponsored by Manscaped.com, the global men's lifestyle brand that's disrupting the beard market. And we pride ourselves ourselves looking good for the podcast, don't
well,
we, mate?
You know, I'm 43 years old, so, you know, we're on the podcast twice a week. So look good, feel good, train good. Manscaped.
You know what? We always say it, iron sharpens iron, and you make me perform better as well. Yeah. So I need a little trim up from that when we get home as well. It's time to throw away that bulky beard trimmer you've been using for years that has dull blades, 10 useless scar detachments, and a bulky power cord. We were lucky enough to receive the Beard Hedger by Manscaped. So Mace, let's check it out and have a look at it, mate. And remember, you can go to manscaped.com today and get 20% off free shipping when you use the promo code LEVELSPOD at the checkout. Can't lose that.
Just like a typical bloke.
Oh, nice. Oh, look at that. Look at that. That's sharp. That is sharp. All the different levels too. I like it.
So you You'd love that. You need that.
I'm going to get, look, like I said, I like the grays look that I've got going on.
You got a bit from the comments. If you shave, they're not happy.
Yeah, I can't go too far down. That's why the levels come in really handy. So hold that up again, Mace, because that's 20% off plus free international shipping with promo code LEVELSPOD at manscaped.com. This is the Levels Network. I am Justin Hordle, joined by the Triple OG, Whittemoo Mason. OG, round one, done and dusted. It's completed now. Round zero into round one. Footy is back.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. Like, from what, the first game on Thursday all the way to yesterday's game, the level is just crazy, man. Coming out at round one, usually, just say 10 years ago, you'd probably get to round five or six before you start hitting your straps. Bro, they're coming out of the blocks like it's round 10. They've played that many games. High-quality football. Intensity all the way. So it was good weekend.
Actually, let's get straight into that, mate. Yeah. Like, I want to address, if you look at specifically, we didn't talk about this last week, the Manly game, but Tommy Turbo, Jake Trbojevic, Daly Cherry Evans, none of them played any trials and they looked as sharp as hell. And a few other players were the same. They might only played 20 minutes. Yeah, Critter played 20 minutes for your Bulldogs. What he still looked good. His fitness looked good.
What have I said? Doesn't mean shit.
Yeah,
your trial game, especially with the vets and the big dogs, they know how to get to round one. They know the energy, they know the intensity, and what needs to be done. So you don't need to trial the guys. You've got to trial the guys that are going for 15, 16, 17 on the roster. Mm. Maybe a couple of positions if you're going for halves. Depends where you are in the competition. But like,
also depends on the team too,
yeah,
mate.
It depends
like
on the
if
team.
You've got new combinations.
You know, the Bulldogs, for instance, they need to trial.
Yes,
you know, a lot of those guys need to trial for their positions, right? But Critter doesn't have to.
Yeah,
Fox don't have to really trial. Birdo, Kicks, all these sort of guys that are, they're going to be in the team. But the guys that are on the bench, some of the back rowers, you know, like Curran, Mann, all these guys, they had to trial because they haven't been at the club before. But when you've got a vet team like Manly, I don't want Turbo going anywhere near a trial game.
Yeah.
You just train the house down. Turbo, you know where you are. DCE, I'm pretty sure you know where you are. Yeah. You've been around for a minute, right? Jake Trbojevic, Jake can play if he wants to play. Because he just wants to bang. He probably needs a little bit of a touch. Some players just want to trial 20, 30 minutes, get me off.
Yeah, you probably got to hold Jakey back out of the three. Tommy Turbo, the last thing you need with his injury history is getting injured in a trial. And Chez is what, into his 14th, 15th season. He's trying to prolong his career, not shorten it. So the less games, the better. Going to start off a little bit different this year with review.
Yeah.
On every preview session, I give my tips with our friends, our partners at the tab. So let's get straight into my results. And I've got accumulated results this year because I'm really going to be hard on myself. And I've got a little system, right, mate? So what I'm going to do.
New system?
It's a new system. And it's going to be help me track my results throughout the year. So at the moment, I'm in the green, baby. So if anyone was following me, we're in the green. So the way it works is I'm going to put $10 on every bet. So that's $160 worth of bets every weekend. So that's including my bets from round zero that we reviewed last week. So I'll run through my bets for those that missed last week for round zero. So I had Manly plus 1.5, tick. I had Luke Brooks anytime, tick. That paid $4.
Shit.
All right, so but I missed out on the Broncos, minus 4.5. Obviously they got done and Ezra Mam didn't score. Then we get into round one. Started really well, mate. We had the Raiders plus 7.5. We both liked the Raiders. Yeah. They end up winning that game. I had Xavier Savage on the wing. He gets a try off a nice little offload from Albert Hopewadi to Hudson Young. $2.30 about Xavier Savage on the wing. And I hope he holds on to his spot because I think he's going to be a real X factor for him. Then I had a rough Friday night. The Warriors get done after looking so good starting that game. Harsh. I had them minus 4.5. Rocco Berry didn't get over, but that left edge was much improved on defensively for the Sharks. A shout out to the Sharks' left edge defense. I don't know why we bet against Melbourne, mate. We nearly talked ourselves into it, but I went the Panthers minus 5, 4.5, and I went Isaac Tungo, who didn't get over as well. I bounced back against your Bulldogs, though. Eels minus 7.5, $1.90. Unfortunately, Mitch Moses did his groin in the first 20 minutes, so I couldn't get him at any time try scorer. But I finished really strong. Dragons plus 6.5, tick. Tyrell Sloan straight away 10 minutes into the game, tick.
Kid.
Cowboys minus 6.5 against the Dolphins, never in doubt. And then Jeremiah Nanai, the third to cross for the Cowboys.
Sorry, is this all your bets that you put on?
These are my bets.
Genius,
you must not
mate.
Be paying attention
you know
and preview.
I don't gamble, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a good start, a really good start to start off round zero and round one together. So the outlay.
It's genius level.
Outlay was $10 per bet. That is $160. I currently have $216.50 in my kitty, and that is a profit of $56.50.
Beautiful.
So
I didn't know that were your bets.
Yeah, they're my bets. Look, we've done it in the past, and I've sort of just like thrown them out willy nilly, but never really looked at them to see. I always felt like I was going good, but now we've actually got some data. I've chucked it down in my Google Sheets, so we'll go over it to start the show
and get ourselves going.
If you're listening to the show for the first time and you love my tips, make sure you subscribe. We are currently at 21,700 on YouTube, and we just keep getting bigger and bigger, mate. It's a couple of hundred per week pretty much. As always, we want everyone to be playing safe during this footy season, so please keep front of mind what are you really gambling with, and if you need free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 because, Mace, it's a really good start to the year, but it goes in ebbs and flows. We've got to stay responsible. And
always responsible.
And I'm just going to keep checking away because I pride myself. I feel like we've got very good footy IQ. Now we've got some data to show it. Speaking of data, again, let's get back to it. 30,000 on Instagram, boom. TikTok, 53, boom. And if you're listening on Apple and Spotify, make sure you subscribe and leave us a comment. It all helps. We're continuing to drive the show and get the support. At the moment, mate, everyone's loving their footy. The numbers are just pumping at the moment. Speaking of pumping, so our BSC dog of the week, you're up first, mate. Who was yours?
My first choice was Joey Tarpino.
Yep.
Love him. Love what he does. Playing back in Newcastle and getting the win up there. Then we get to Friday night and then we see the Sharks against the Warriors.
What a performance.
And I'm like, they're going to get blown out of the water, right?
I thought it was going to be 30-40.
First 20 minutes, 80% ball, all that sort of stuff. I was like, they're going to get hammered. Sifa Talakai was absolute dog. He played like an animal. And I'm not just talking because he's a big physical dude. He took some fucking runs out there when he's busted leg and like guys that didn't, you know, when you're playing against the Warriors, those play twos, they're coming at you, man. You know what I mean? Massive contact. He wore it all.
Yep.
He did about five of those coming out of yardage. That's what I respect.
Like yeah.
That's what I respect. I don't care. And the soft touches for the try, getting back off the ground, that second effort, you know what I mean? That's what we know that big man can do, he's capable of. He was, I think he made something like 160 metres, but like about 60 of those metres were just coming off his back fence and copping those hits. Forwards love playing with this guy, and I think the players love playing with him.
Specifically, Mace, on a couple of those ones, they were off stop starts where there were decisions to be made. So it was like not only a tough carry, the defensive line for the Warriors was set and they went after him. Like a couple of the players, I think Mitchie Barnett was trying to get a lick on him. Rocco Berry was, you know.
Everyone was teeing off because they were slow play the balls.
Yes.
Like it was just like, and he took the balls. And they're the toughest runs when everyone's ready to line you up and you're like, give me the ball.
You know what too? So we sort of questioned their edge defense, which was a problem last year. But similar to Moses Sully, right? We'll talk about Moses Sully a little bit later on. I thought he was outstanding as well. But when Sifa Talakai gets in and runs the ball like this, it can help him defensively, right, too, Mace? Because if you're running and putting the defensive line of Sean Johnson, Rocco Berry, who else was the defender on the – Kurt Capewell was right edge defense. What you do is you tire them out so then they can't come back at you.
Yeah, because he's a bulldozer, man.
He's fucking so hard
Shout
to handle.
Shout out to Nico Hines as well.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like I was sort of questioning. I said, look, he's going to get a lot of traffic coming his way. I love great players like himself who – he got questioned, like his defense got questioned, right?
So we even did ourselves on him.
We did. I was like, they're going to come at him because I know when they game plan, they're game planning for him to try and tire him out in defense And he made a few mistakes last year. Mm. He's been in the lab and he's been working his ass off defensively, and I respect the fuck out of that.
They went at him. They sent Jackson forward at him three, fucking, four times.
He made some big, big plays.
Yeah, forced a couple
Jackson
errors.
Jackson Ford, I think it was 12-0. I think it was Nicora or him who tackled him just before the line. It would have been 18-0. I reckon it would have been game over.
Yeah, I agree.
And the game changed from then. But we'll get to that. But I just want to give him a shout out because I was saying they're going to come at him, and there's no more physical side than the Warriors.
Mate,
and
I have
fucking stood up easily.
100%. I had my question marks, and look, we can't put everyone in the eight. If I was looking for a team to slip, they were probably going to be my team. And look, they still haven't beaten a top eight team because at the moment the Warriors aren't a top eight team, but we probably expect them to be in the top eight. So a great performance all around by the Sharks.
Gritty win.
A very gritty win, and it's the Sharks of old, and you sort of – that's how you win round one games. You build into it, and we'll talk a little bit more about it as we get going on.
Yeah.
My BSC dog of the week, you can't spell dog without DG, so I'm giving it to my DG, Brycey Cartwright, unfortunately, against your dogs, mate.
He was up there with mine, but I just couldn't give it to him.
The big pep talk got me ready. But I reckon it pumped up us Parramatta, Parramatta players as well, because Brycey Cartwright, and I'm so happy for Brycey. Before I even get to the stats, I'll get to the stats and then we'll talk about his journey
He deserves a rap. He's been through it.
18 carries, 114 metres, 44 post contact, 2 line breaks, 4 tackle breaks, 6 offloads, which is his bread and butter, 22 tackles with only 1 miss. Now, I wanted to highlight them as well because although it's not a massive number, his intent and this part of his game, everyone knows Brycey's got it, everything offensively in the bag.
I didn't know he could hit like this.
He was going after it.
He crushed Fox
half. He's the one that got Fox in half. And he got him clean too. He got penalised for it. It was a clean hit. He didn't deserve to be penalised because it was shoulder-to-shoulder contact. They thought Foxy must have had something happen to his head. But it ended up being the shoulder. So 2 tries, obviously, which is grouse. But like I said, Brycey's always had that in his bag. I think I'm happy for Brycey. He comes in, he hits the scene. He's this. I watched him through his juniors playing against my brother coming through. He was always the dude. Yeah. He was always that guy coming through. Then he hits the scene, kills it straight away for Penrith. The results aren't that great for the Penrith, but he's killing it. Then he signs a big contract, goes up to Titans. And he sort of just lost his form and confidence a bit. But now he's come full circle. Last year was a great stepping stone. He started over a couple of really good players with Isaiah Papali'i moving on. And I don't say this lightly, Mace. I think he could be a smoky for New South Wales.
They've been waiting
this up, mate.
They've been waiting for him to arrive.
Yes, they
have. You know what I mean? Like, he's been that kid for ages. He's just been on a different journey. A couple of years ago, he didn't have a club.
Yeah.
When he left the Titans. So you've got to give this kid some respect, man. He's worked his ass off to get back to where he is now. Now he's starting for one of the premiership favourites, I'm thinking. And he's on that right. Oh, he'd be up there. They're a top 4 side.
They're a contender again.
They're contenders.
I want to see them next week against Penrith before I say anything like that. Yeah.
Big part of it. So good on him.
Yeah. So it's a big call. I know he's been in the mix before. He would have just sort of been like the forgotten guy now. Yeah. But I think he'd look good in a 14 jersey as a utility.
He's got
14
the talent to play at any level. There's no one's ever questioned his talent.
Yep.
It's just consistency.
Yep.
Now he's found consistency.
All right, mate. So let's get into our YouTube questions, which are brought to you by Culture Kings. You know, we're always focusing on our culture here. And if you want to level up your fashion game, we have a 10% discount code for you to use online when checking out. What's the code, Mace?
LEVEL1. Is that capitals?
All capitals, baby. Let's do it again.
LEVEL1. All capitals.
Make sure you tell your mates.
This is Culture Kings.
Culture Kings, baby. 10% off when you go and check in online. And Lukey, he's got the link in the bio. So go on, get amongst it for Culture Kings. 10% off, baby. Help yourself. So let's get into the YouTube questions. Hey, boys, this one's from Michael Greer. Considering the long season, especially for the star players, do you think it will be common practice for teams to rest their guns like the Roosters did with Teddy last year? So you remember after the Origin period, they gave Teddy a spell. They lose that game to the Melbourne Storm, but then they went on a bit of a run. So, Mace, I'll add some stuff to this. Yeah. We're familiar with the NBA and load management, and we know that players are rested generally in the last round of the season, depending on sort of where they are in the competition. Can they make the finals? Are they going to slide up and down? Do you think teams will adopt sort of what happened to Teddy, or was that more of a specific situation because Teddy had gone through such a grueling origin period?
I think that's it's situational, right? Yeah. If you've got a guy like Teddy, if you've got a guy like Kalen Ponga, even Reece Walsh, doesn't matter how old they are, it's the football that they've been playing in the high level, right? So if you've got a chance to rest these guys, you can arrest them. It'd be silly not to. You know what I mean? Especially if you're going to make a big run to the eight and all that kind of stuff. You're going to rest your key players, especially your fullbacks. They cover 15 to 20K a game. They're doing everything. And especially if you go through Origin, you make big runs into the finals for years like Teddy has, playing for Australia, all these big runs, sort of deserves a rest.
Do you think not only the physicality of the situation, but more like mentally was a big reason that they just needed to give Teddy a rest last year?
Look at all the shit that he copped too during Origin. Like they lost Origin. Everyone's trying to hang it on him.
Him and Freddie copped all the blame, didn't they?
That's great coaching and leadership. But go, all right, Teddy, just have a rest, mate.
Yeah.
You know, just get away for the week. Get out of Sydney, right?
It was a must-win game against the Storm too. And they still managed to, they got beaten by the Storm, then they got freshened up, and then he just went on a run.
Yeah. Look, I think it's all situational. It depends where you are. You do it to Turbo.
Yeah.
You do it to, like Kalen Ponga. All these star players that play a lot of football, they get banged up week in, week out. Yep. You would do it to them. But
age,
it depends
injury, what history.
Forwards usually don't want to rest.
No.
We don't want to rest.
No.
Just the outside backs and some guys, mainly the fullbacks. You want to rest your star fullback. If you've got those guys and you can rest them, rest them.
Yeah, they probably cover more ground
than
anyone.
It's easy when you've got a guy like Joey Manu who can play fullback as well.
Yeah, that's
it
a nice
doesn't really stream. Doesn't really hinder anything.
All right, mate. I agree with everything that you just said. We got this one from Puka 1997, and I got this a couple of times. I stuffed up last week. Scope, you're getting Smithies mixed up with Morgan Knowles from Saints. Both dogs, though. And the even more disrespects, shout out to Morgan Smithies, who was outstanding. But remember that team that I gave the shout out to?
Yeah.
And I didn't pronounce their name correctly. He's a Siddell Jr.
Oh, Siddell. Not Peter Siddell.
No, it is Siddell. It's Siddell. Siddell's the correct one. So he's a Siddell Jr.
Yeah.
And he's made for the NRL. And I agree.
Oh, Morgan Smithies. Smithies, man.
Yeah, I remember watching him. I 100% got him mixed up with Morgan Knowles. So apologies. But
where's Smithies come from?
Wigan.
Okay.
He's a Wigan lad. So the one that comp him and Kai Pearce-Paul, who looked really good for Newcastle when he came on as well.
Going to be a problem, that kid.
Yeah, we'll talk. That's our first game to break down. But let's get to a couple of the main topics, mate. And it's been reported. We've got the Dragons and Lomax situation, which you would have hoped would have calmed slightly, because this news was breaking over the weekend, basically before the game. That the Dragons are reportedly chasing Wallaby star Jordan Pataia, but coach Shane Flanagan has declared he won't be releasing Zach Lomax this season. The 24-year-old centre can play wing or fullback and is off contract at the end of the season. The Dragons could have an opening in the back line with reports $800,000 centre Lomax wants to leave after being relegated to the wing. But Flanagan declared Lomax, who enjoyed one of the best games of his career high too, by the way, in metres gained, won't be going anywhere this year, but by the sounds of it, they're open to discussing next year. So the situation on Lomax specifically, and I don't know much about Wallaby star Jordan Pataia. I haven't seen too much of him personally, but
he's a winger, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a winger. He's a bit of a hybrid. A lot of the outside backs in rugby union are very versatile, where they can play multiple positions, but... Yeah, let's go specifically on the Lomax situation, because I've got a take on it, and I just want to know what your take on Lomax playing on the wing, because I thought he looked really good.
I don't mind it. He looks all right. Doesn't look out of place. He's getting a lot of ball, but it's just not quality ball. It's fucking tough. They're tough carries, man.
Yeah.
They need to utilize him more coming from dummy half, especially in the middle of the field. Get him skipping over. Skipping over in the middle, because he's got skills like a 5'8".
Oh, so skip from one edge to the other, or
get him
in the
middle
of the
field? Yeah, but just like get him from dummy half and just like scoot as far as you can into the middle of the field. Have people running into holes and slowing out the back.
Yep.
Usually on the third tackle, they're all jammed in the numbers line.
Yep.
You can just have one little pass and boom, you're on the outside of him straight away. Guys like that, if a winger has a skill set like that, you've got to utilize it. He's tough as hell, right? Him and Bird have got a good combination out there. He's getting all these runs. He's going to do everything that you want him to do. Like, there's no doubt with his talent. He just doesn't want to play fucking wing. It's probably harder than centre. You can do all these other fucking runs, man.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily the role and what he actually does in the role. I think it's the perceived demotion of the role more than anything. Yeah. But I really think, and I said this, and I'll throw this out to you as well. In this day and age, I don't think the value of the center and the winger is all that far off anymore.
No, it's not that far.
In fact, in some teams, I'll throw you a couple of examples. Here's a couple of examples, right? Two of the most improved teams from last year were the Knights and the Warriors. If you're looking at the Warriors and Knights, right, and you've got to eliminate, not eliminate, but you have to pick between who you would prioritize from the Warriors and Knights, would you go Dylan White, Selezniak and Marcelo Montoya, or Adam Pompey and Rocco Berry?
And Dom Young. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll get to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Dom Young. I look at it like Greg that as well.
I'm just thinking they're Dane more, Gagai, they're Bradman more valuable. Some of those, especially when you look at the Warriors, then the centers.
I agree.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily. Unless you've got a Tuivasa-Sheck or some absolute gun center,
yep.
Wingers are more important than centers.
I think in some teams. I think it's evened out. I think obviously, you know, we talk about it all the time. Back in your era specifically, the game was defended so much differently that you could get at a center some early ball and he could do his best work.
One-on-ones, man.
And then the wingers, they were just finishing stuff off.
Yeah.
Now the game has changed so much. They're relied on yardage plays. And if you're on the front foot like the Dragons were, Lomax ran for 260 or something crazy like that. It's the most meters he's ever run for.
Yeah.
He can also come off the wing and he started
any time
at the back end of the halves. He was coming in looking at shape where he got a nice little, he nearly scored another try.
Yeah.
But I think there was, I'm not 100%. I felt like there was a bit of a light bulb moment at the end. So he puts in a nice little grubber kick for Lomax. Benny Hunt and Lomax scores a nice little try. And then he tried another one when Brimson was at fullback. He comes over and knocks it over. And I think there was, I sort of seen his body language was a little bit still like, oh, I'm frustrated. I'm capable of more. But I think at the back end of the game, he was sort of like, I think I can have some joy here.
Because he's always been that dude.
Yeah.
The gun center, the Australian schoolboy center, this like always, you know, projected to go into like New South Wales and Australia and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, he's thinking, I'm not a fucking winger. I never played wing.
Yep.
So it's a little bit of an ego hit. Now he's got to go team first, but have a look how some of the best centers and wingers, how they play. They're getting on play two and three and just smashing it through the middle. Val Holmes,
yes.
Tuivasa-Sheck.
Yep.
Mate, you've got a license. When you're down that end, you've got a license to do what you want from both sides. If it's on your side of the field, you can fucking get in there on play two or three or four.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Usually it's a forwards ball and play four, but you can get in there. Like, it's nothing more dangerous than a big, strong fucking back like Val Holmes. You see Val Holmes yesterday.
Yeah, he's outstanding.
That looks awful. If you're a middle and you see a guy coming at you like that, he can bull rush you straight through your chest, step you inside and out. Like, it's awful as a middle. Like, Zach Lomax has that speed and he has those skills. So he just needs to find himself and then just deal with it.
Well, the
get through this year and then he can do what he wants.
Yeah, the reason it sort of stands out with those other guys and it was a big effort from Val and Roger, but they still got to be locked in defensively. Like, you've got to concentrate just a little bit harder when you're in the centres because even if the ball's away from you, it can quickly come back. Whereas on the wing, you can chill. Like, defensively, you've got to make big decisions when it matters. But for the most part, you can sit behind the line, read the defence, catch your breath.
You're not really having a red-hot crack. Like, just say coming out of yardage, you're never having a crack at the other side winger, right?
Yeah.
Until you get down into the red zone, then you got to go, fuck, all right, crossfield kick, it could be late plays, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you got to make critical plays, but like when it's fucking, when the middles are just bashing each other, you can sit back, have a good minute off.
Yeah, you reserve your energy, get yourself ready and get ready for attack. And here's another thing, and you mentioned it before, he's been talked about for pretty much since he debuted for Origin.
Yeah.
I think his path to playing Origin is a lot cleaner considering what the options are like for his position at centres right now, well, his favourite position. So if everyone's fit and looking sharp, just like the two fullbacks who started the competition in round zero, and I'm talking about Tommy Turbo and Latrell Mitchell, followed by the current incumbent skipper, then for me, those three are locks. Yeah. I don't care how good Stephen Crichton has been for Penrith Panthers and in that series last year. Critter would probably be the next outside of those two.
Best, Katoni.
If they were fully fit. Bradman Best was really good last year. Katoni has been really good for the Broncos.
He finished the end of the year in the Australian jersey.
So, Teddy's fullback, Tommy Turbo's one wing, one centre, Latrell's the other centre. Brian Toto's a lock for a wing. Fox, for me, isn't a lock for the other wing spot.
That's wide open, eh?
Imagine Tommy Turbo and Zach Lomax on the right edge for New South Wales.
That'd be mad.
How physical that edge would be. So I think there's a part where if he really embraces this, I think Dragons are going to be much improved this year. And I think Lomax could be playing, he could be another Smokey for some Origin this year.
If he has those sort of meters, you know, if he gets the ball, like forwards love it when the wingers just get the ball and just fucking go at it. Finish tries, do everything like that, but the out of yardage, like get those play twos and threes. And he does that. He's a tough kid.
They've got the Dolphins this week too, so he gets another good opportunity. Yeah. Val Holmes has did against the Dolphins, come in, do the exact same thing.
That's what I want to see.
He's got another 200 metres in him, gets a try, kicks a few goals. He looks like he wasn't as fatigued kicking his goals too. His percentage went up as well. It's a tricky situation. It's 100%. I can understand the ego of it when you've been that dude for so long. I really think there's a world in which if he embraces this, the Dragons look much improved.
Does it look like he's whinging to me? They're trying to create this narrative that he's having a bit of a sook.
Well, who knows what's been said.
You know what I mean? Like,
who knows?
Maybe at the start in preseason he would have been fucking filthy. But now you're playing first grade. You're playing on the wing and you're winning.
Well, see, that could change everything, right? If they continue to win, maybe those things, maybe that frustration, it gets pushed aside a little bit later on. Or if they, you know, they started really well last year. They beat Gold Coast Titans in round two last year. Everything looked good, but then they lost a few games. So I think it's really important, the start, because defensively, Jack Bird really, I thought he was really good for him defensively and Ben Hunt. All right, mate, staying on rugby union, there is reports of a Joseph Swali backflip. Now, not from Joseph Swali's camp at all.
Of course not.
Apparently, this has been – the Roosters are trying to push this really bad. So the Roosters are trying to get Joseph Swali out of his $4.5 million rugby union contract to stay at the club following Joey Manu's impending switch to French rugby. Neil Breen revealed on 2GB radio that the Roosters are trying hard behind the scenes to get Swali out of his three-year contract, 1.5 of the best. The issue would be whether rugby would be sympathetic to let him out of the deal, and they would be because of the size of it, and there's all sorts of things about clauses that are
sympathetic.
No chance.
Holy shit. That's never going to happen.
No way.
You're the biggest young star in the game. And you are fucking getting 3 years out of him. Because your grassroots are dying and you need a couple of Joseph Suoliti's wanting to play union. That's how important it is. They're not looking at him just as a talent. They're looking at him to unearth the next talent. You know what I mean? Because he's a young, good-looking kid. He's that kid that you can hang your hat on, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's a great kid. Like,
not only physically and on the field, he's such a good marketing
on and off the field, mate. Yeah. Like, look at him. You know what I mean? Like, he's, you know, he's a walking billboard. So union would be so stupid to let him go.
There's no way they do.
The Roosters will try everything.
If anyone can pull it off, it's Uncle Nick.
But it'll be up to him if he wants to stay or not. Yeah, at the end of the day, Suoliti, he wants to go, no, I'm not going. He'd dig his heels in. Then they'll have to pay compensation and then that'll happen. But I don't think it'll happen.
Do you think with the – look, we're all aware of sort of how rugby is being perceived in this country right now. And I've always said I think it's disappointing because just like you, Mace, I agree. I love it when a Wallabies team is strong. There's no way that they'll ever entertain this, right? Like they can't.
They can't. You can't.
They can't let a marketing tool or a player of this caliber, because he looked really good in the trials too against – not trials, sorry, round zero against Katoni.
Diehard Wallabies fan. Could you name any Wallabies now?
Yeah, no, I can't.
Usually you should be able to nearly name the whole 15.
Yeah. Not consistently, right? Like I know some guys that have come in, like Will Skelton is the skipper and Tom Wright, who has a rugby league background, but – it's
and that's sad for rugby union. So they need a Joseph Suoliti more than anything.
Yeah. So yeah, interesting to see how that plays out, whether it's just all rumors or not. But let's get into the footy, mate. Let's review them. First game Thursday night, Knights versus Raiders. The Raiders beat them 28-12. This game was a true reflection of a team who finished strong last year and expected it all to happen again in a new year. They reminded me, Mace, and I'm speaking of the Knights, of the Cowboys of 2023.
Yeah,
they try to start 2023 or 2024, specifically the Knights, the way that they finished 2023.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen. You played Ricky and you played the Raiders.
We said it, right? That's what you're going to get, a real ugly Raiders team who's just going to be nonstop. Fogarty's kicking game, I've never seen a better kicking game in my life. The first one was awful because Ponga caught it in on the full.
Mm.
All the rest were like 50 out, 1 meter away from the line.
Yeah.
Do you know how accurate that is? Or even 60 meters out. He was just putting it on a dime, and that's what kept Canberra in.
And they weren't on the front foot either offensively. No, they were really struggling out of yardage to begin with.
25 meters or 30 meters, he'd kick it 60 meters out and land it on their 10 in the corner.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I was like, that is ridiculous. Accuracy.
And Ethan Strange offensively wasn't doing anything for that first 30 minutes too. He was just like, let the OG, let the experienced half go out there and kick. And then he was just concentrating on
make your tackles. He kicked him to victory, I reckon.
Yep, I agree.
They toughed it out. They were just typical Canberra. You know what I mean? They go up there with that siege mentality. Ricky Stewart, you see what he had. Fuck him.
Yeah.
Who has that in their dressing room?
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Yeah,
as Ricky Stewart does. That's who does, Ricky Stewart.
You know what? Like, even the level of...
That is so petty.
It's petty. It's simplistic. It looked like he designed it himself.
He drew it.
Like, he should have got Caesar's Palace or something to at least do something a little bit more creative.
He's got his missus to just print this out.
It was so fucking simple and just like... And he really wanted people to see it too. Like, you don't put it up in the locker room and change
right
like
where the where the camera is. He's going to put it right there.
Everyone knows, Mace. Yeah. When you walk into a shed, you sort of get in, you get changed, and where's the camera? Because you want to be aware of where the camera are. Like, for whatever
it may be, everywhere now.
You just see where the camera is. They've put it on top of someone's locker, specifically right in front of the camera.
I know Ricky Stewart's mentality like that, and I love it, and it's hilarious how he is, but that's their mentality. That's their DNA, Canberra.
Mm.
Fuck him. Everyone hates us. You know what I mean? Like, it's us against the world. Like, and he drives that culture with those guys. And you see when they get out there. Danny Levi looks sharp.
Danny Levi looks good.
He's throwing some darts from hooker.
Let's get to Danny Levi in a bit. I want to start with Tarps and Pops.
Yeah, they're animals.
You mentioned it. Tarpano was nearly your dog of the week, but Josh Papali'i's first stint was outstanding as well. Because I didn't think they were on the front foot, but they just kept on toughing it out. Yeah. And then eventually Newcastle broke.
Because Newcastle are tough, right? Mm. They're tough in the middle. They've got the Saifidi brothers. You've got Thompson. I don't think Thompson played enough minutes.
Yeah, Thompson looked a little bit off.
Yeah.
He had a really good last year. I thought he was really good in
Daniel
the pack
played
up.
A fair bit of time in there. So, but Big Papa come on and just went at it. That play when I think Starling hit the – was it Ponga? And then Papa come over the top?
Yes.
Bro, that was...
No, that was Marzu.
Was it Marzu? Yeah, it was Marzu, wasn't it? Yeah, he caught it. And he come at Starling. Yep. Starling dips. And then Big Papa was on that... He was on there for about 25, 30 minutes and then drove him into the end goal. That was one of the pivotal moments in that game.
You know what? Like, I remember it specifically, Mace. I think it was about the 18-minute mark and he'd front-loaded all his energy.
Yep.
Sticks gave him a break just after that.
Yeah.
Good work, big boy. Repeat set. I think they might have got a scrappy try potentially in and around that time. And they gave the big fella a rest. And they've got really good young tearaways that come off the bench. Yeah, that's a Mariota.
Yeah, I
like Pasami Solo.
Yeah.
He looked like
Newcastle
he's really up.
Boy.
He's a Newcastle boy, played there for a few years. But Danny Levi, I had my question marks on him. There's something still a little bit off from him. Like, he scores the nice try. He's got a bit of skill about him. But what about before we get to the Newcastle Knights, I want to just speak specifically about a couple of calls in both games. The obstruction call. Danny Levi runs into Tyson Frizzell. Fan or not a fan?
Which one was that? Sorry.
When Caelan made that breakthrough the middle and then he puts Tyson Gamble over. It would have been the first try. What's your thoughts on the obstruction?
Rules. It's the rules.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, have a look how many times they break these plays down.
Yep.
Like, there were some great tries. They stop them. It's just like, because they come back, if you don't go around the guy or if you're getting the ball inside the lead runner, stop the try.
Yeah, so.
It's just the rules. That's it. And at least they're consistent with it.
Yes, that's what I love.
I don't give a shit. Just that's what I love, Don't let other plays go and then let this one go.
So one thing I don't like about it, but it's gamesmanship. It's part of the game. Danny Levi definitely played for it on Tyson Frizzell, but in saying that, I'd prefer, like a couple of years ago, it was just too much grey area in it and it puts too much pressure on the video referees, which we'll get to in the last game.
Yeah.
One of the worst calls I've ever seen. But
Hudson Young needs to watch himself, man. With that hit, bro, like, come on. He's defenseless. Yeah, whatever it is.
Yes.
Defenseless. Yeah. And you smack him in the head? Like,
just Ricky was complaining about it. He felt like he was hard done by.
Did Ricky complain about that?
Yeah. He said it was a push.
Oh, it's a little bit more than a push, I think.
Rick Sticks, Respectfully,
I think it was a bit more.
Hudson Young is the way he is. Like, I'm sure he's got a little bit of dog about him regardless, but you want him to be like this. And he hit a defensive player late.
Spinning backwards the other way.
Did you watch it on Channel 9 or KO? Yeah. I watched it on Channel 9, right? And even Joey was sticking up for Hudson Young. He goes, played in real time and it's not as bad as you think.
Didn't look as bad, no.
I disagree. I reckon he had plenty of time. Hudson Young, but he still
like you could push him out of the way, but he didn't push him out of the way. He just dropped the shoulder. Yeah, I get it. You could do that 20 years ago.
Joey was saying he was bracing himself. Fucking no, he wasn't. He was going after. You could see.
Like, I know.
When you slow it down, you can see the intent in his face. He was like,
move.
Oh, bang.
Yeah.
And he hit him. And credit to KP because KP's had dramas in the past.
I was worried about that.
KP doesn't lie down anymore, too. Yeah. So even if KP did take a lick, I think he's trained himself now to go. Get back up.
Joey to say that, watch it in real time. Yeah, you can get it. You can get away with it in real time. Watch it in slow motion.
Yeah.
And then you see him brace and go, crack.
You can see the intent in his face.
Yes. Come on, man. I love Ricky, but geez. And I love Huddy Young. I love the way he plays.
But
he cost your team 10 minutes, nearly could have cost the game.
Yep.
Because they end up scoring in that play and getting a bit of a front foot.
No.
Canberra scored. That was a tactic.
So Canberra scored, and then they scored one either just before halftime, which
was
after
Frizzell halftime. Scored.
Yes, then Frizzell scored. So
that's his edge, but right?
It was his edge.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it was his edge. They wouldn't have scored if he was on.
I mentioned it before. Morgan Smithies, I got it wrong. He's from Wigan, not St Helens.
He's built for the NRL.
But fuck. Sticky, I heard Sticky speak about it again post-match with Joey. Their recruitment out of England has been second to none.
I want to know who their dude is.
I know.
Surely we've all got one of those.
What, the English guy of an English player? Yeah.
Why are we not just dipping like he is?
As in going in
and get some hardcore pommies.
I've always said it depends.
Fucking rip in.
Well, it works really well for the Canberra Raiders for a couple of reasons. One, if you're a young kid over in the UK and you've seen the success of John Bateman, Elliot Whitehead, Josh Hodgson, the list goes
Sam
on.
Burgess.
Yeah, but the guys that have played for Canberra and been successful. Okay, right. So they've got a bit of a pommies club there. Like Elliot Whitehead's
still there. And it's cold as fuck there, boys. You'd love it.
And that's my point is comparing the north of England to Canberra.
It's exactly the same.
It's a beautiful summer.
It's exactly the same.
It's a beautiful summer in Canberra compared to the north
of
England.
Just joking, Canberra. I love it. Moose heads.
I think with the respect that in particular Elliot Whitehead's got in the English camp and what he's done in the game. So it's a little bit easier for the Canberra Raiders to recruit these players. Maybe whoever goes over and gets them all done, hey, come speak to Elliot. Like he'll tell you where to live. He'll tell you how the lifestyle
raps.
Is.
Yeah. And the transition's not that hard. So if you get moved to Bondi, a little bit harder.
Yeah.
Come to Bankstown, a little bit harder. Parramatta, out west, you'd be petrified of that joint.
Mm.
But Canberra, own little town, nice and cold for you.
Nice and quiet.
Yeah.
Ethan Strange filling in.
Defensively good.
Looked really good against Hylam Luki in the trials. He's a nugget,
eh? Like he's not going to get out physical.
He licked Marzu about two or three times and no one licked Marzu last year.
He's hard to hit, Marzu, and he got him. He's a little baby. Went after him.
Yeah.
So who's this little six? It's that little strange kid.
They had, do you reckon they had a head on a plate for Marzu?
100%. I know what Ricky's like, mate. Played underneath him and I know which heads are on plates.
Yeah.
Then he'd be one of them.
Yeah.
KP's would have been one of them. Yeah. One of the Saifidis.
Well, I think KP does his best work off the back of Marzu's platform. Once they start rolling, like Marzu has that really big carry first carry we talked about in the preview, right?
Yeah.
Kick to Marzu, then he can't have play two, then they don't build momentum because that's when Bradman Best comes in, that's when Dane Gagai come in.
Yeah.
Then they're on the front foot, they're playing fast, and then the shape that they try to get going wasn't off a quick play the ball, wasn't off a good platform. And it looked choppy, it looked slow, there were passes behind, so they didn't get any rhythm.
Canberra was slow on the ruck down.
They went after Marzu, mate.
Real grubby shit, but you know, not grubby, but like proper Canberra stuff. Just that one second in the ruck just means everything on the edge, right?
Yep.
You can set up for Ponga, you know where he's coming. You can put an extra man on that long side because they try and get that 6-4 split. Then, you know, that little 1 second in the ruck where like Tarpanay's holding you down or Hudson Young's holding you down, it's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to fight every single second to get that second back and they're trying to get their second because everyone can adjust, then you can get onto Ponga, right?
We'll get to Ponga in a bit, just actually straight after this, but I want to give a massive shout out to Canberra. They lose Jared Croker retirement, Jack Whiten goes to South Sydney. Sebastian Chris and Corey Horsburgh are suspended, and Elliot Whitehead was injured. Five stars out of their team that are going to be – or three that are going to be part of their team in the coming weeks. Great wing. Yeah. Let's get to KP and the Knights. Are you worried about the Knights after one performance, or are you just putting it down to round one, probably just preparation wasn't
yeah,
up for
it? Yeah, I don't know. It's looked a little
few changes as well for them.
Their forward pack can go with anyone. Their back, I mean, their combinations on that left side with the young back row. He hasn't played much first grade there, so his time was off a little bit.
Lachlan Fitzgibbon was really good for him last year too at the back end of the season, wasn't he?
They were just game planning for Ponga. Wherever Ponga is, you just put an extra man there because you're not worried about Hastings going down a short side or Gamble on the other side. Wherever he is, you just put an extra man there. That's all it is. And then you've got to put inside pressure on those guys from the middle guys. You can really shut them down. Because they don't really have a plan B at the moment because they need Gamble or Hastings to take a fucking line on more and play more direct, you know, instead of going around the back and asking for KP to step over and then play short, all that sort of shit. That happens in a beautiful set, right? You see it happen last year all the time. But Gamble or Hastings need to be that genuine option on the other side of the ruck. So if you do flip that other guy over, you fucking attack that short side and you take the ball.
Especially early on in the season.
Yeah,
because
man.
That beautiful shape that they worked on last year is not going to be in the first two or three rounds.
Every single team is game planning for that shape.
And everyone's fresh and at this point of the year.
Yeah, they see the cues, they know when it happens, and they'll fucking get another man there, and then they'll inside pressure. They call it working under the ball. As soon as the ball goes, everyone comes up and they sprint that way.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like to try and cover KP's left foot and help their inside, help the four man, help the three man, help the two man. Like all the middles are working that hard. And when you work that hard, KP's not going to really do that much.
In saying that, and I agree with everything that you just said, they were just a pass off a couple of times, I think early on, where if they'd executed it early or maybe played a little bit more simplistic and dropped a few plays, hit a few leads to begin with, they could have stripped Canberra apart, but they didn't.
Yeah, you can't just keep going out the back. The first time Gamble hits Frizzell, he goes straight through, right? Like you got to play like chess with these defensive teams. You can't just keep going out the back to Ponga because that's what we expect you to do. They just come through the block play and go straight out to Ponga. That's what they're doing now.
Yeah.
They're not even caring about the lead guy where you need to account for the lead guy. And I think – what will change people's minds is Kai Pierce-Paul playing on that left edge this week with that big boy. You've got to account for him because
he's
big, strong, fast. He can offload. He's got good leg speed. I haven't seen that much of him. I only saw a little bit. Fucking seen enough.
Yeah.
I've seen enough. He's going to be a problem on that left edge
if they get
the shape right. Mm. You hit him a couple of times, have KP coming on the inside, like Gamble just pushing up with him, a few offloads. Then you can go around the back.
Yep.
Because then you get the three man looking at him, the four man looking at him. You've got to account for him because one on one's not good enough for that kid. He's going to throw you off.
He garnered attention straight away, didn't he?
He's going to get you straight away because he's long, he's big, he's fast, and he's got skills, mate. So you got to account for that guy. And then if you get the four man turning in, then you get KP doing whatever KP does. On that left edge, boom, boom, overs, play short, play long, whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, you're right. Then KP can get into the game. He's definitely going to add something to it. I can see this becoming, and we sort of address this. I think there are some situations where iron sharpens iron, for sure. I think specifically like middles work, like testing each other, keeping each other accountable. Yeah. When a winger is getting in and carrying the ball hard, you want the other winger to sort of come in and match him. In the halves, I want it more settled. And I think the problem for the Knights that could arise if they don't get a few more wins early, and I said this before, I think the guy that's really going to feel the pressure is Tyson Gamble because Jackson Hastings touches the ball so much. KP is the X factor. You said it before, Tyson Gamble puts on that. Like Tyson Gamble could have had a whale of a game. If that try started, right, he goes through, Kalen puts him over, he supports well through the middle, he puts Tyson Frizzell over early. Could have been potentially like a 12-0 start for the Titans and the Knights are looking good. But the game doesn't sort of pan out that way.
Yeah.
And Tyson Gamble never really gets the opportunity to get as many opportunities as the other.
Because he's not going to get the lion's share.
So he has to really ice his moments. And when you've got a guy like Jack Cogger sitting on the bench, who's not a nine, by the way.
No.
His service out of nine wasn't good and they were targeting through
Cogger,
the middle.
Phoenix, Crossland, Hastings and Gamble in one line.
Well, now you've got
– It's a fucking small –
But the problem
a lot
is –
of targets there.
The problem is Brayley's – most likely going to come back either this week or next week as well. So then there's just an extra person in this headache for
Crosland. He for went Knights. At it.
He went hard. Right.
He went at it. Like, he's picked up his defense. He's not a spot player. Even though he made 59 tackles, he was banging. He leads the line speed. I'd love to play with that kid. You know what I mean? He's picked up. I love guys like that who's gone, all right, well, I was in the halves my whole career. Now I'm in the hooker. I need to put on a little bit of extra weight so I can hit. And he's done that.
Well, they
I love it.
They brought Cogger on to play hooker, and then when Adam Elliott went off, or potentially they swapped him for Adam Elliott, he played lock. So he stayed in the middle and wanted the physical stuff. And
he loves
and played
it.
Lock. So, I just think there's going to be a situation.
Something off there, right? Because I think Gamble deserves to be in that 17, right?
Yes.
But I don't know where.
He'll feel the pressure.
Yeah. Like, because he's not – he doesn't – so every time he gets the ball, they're expecting him to do something, either pass the ball to bloody Best or Gags or go himself.
Right side,
you know what I mean? But he plays – I don't know. He just needs to find a role. I think his best role will be off the bench. Coming on as lock, as nine, as wherever you want him to go, and just put that energy in. Because he does have that energy.
Well, they've got a big game against North Queensland this week. So if they don't get a result early, I think the pressure is going to build for not only those halves, everyone in the spine but Kalen. And because you know who looked really good in the trials was Will Price as well. So there's another name that's sort of tossed into all this. So
be hard.
All right, mate, let's get to the Wires versus the Sharks. Your body BSC dog of the week was from the Sharks. And like I said, the biggest knock on Cronulla is they couldn't beat the top 18, but this is a great start, mate. It's round one. The Wires aren't currently in the top eight, but I believe the Warriors are still going to be a top eight team, and this is a great performance by the Sharks.
If they can string that first 20 together for about 60 or 70, they're going to blow most teams off. I just don't know what happened. I'm like, what did they have, 80% ball in the first 25 minutes or something?
Yeah, a couple of really soft – I love Royce Hunt. A couple of poor errors from him early in the game. They're playing a Warriors team that were just –
relentless,
humming.
Mate.
They were humming from a big 2023 season. They were pumped for this game.
Crowd.
They sold out both of their trials, and they've already sold out, I think, up until round five or six. So it was up the wires, and they got caught up in the moment. But they fucking weathered it.
I can't believe they lost.
Yeah.
I'm watching that game going, 13 plus here for sure. Cronulla's going to be, they're going to be tough. I'm thinking no way they're going to win this game.
No way.
Just no way in the world. But I don't know what happened. I reckon it's that specific moment when Jackson Ford got held up. I reckon it would have been 18-0. I'm not sure if it was Nico or Nikora saved that try.
Yep.
I reckon it would have been game over.
Was maybe Will Kennedy involved in
one of
them?
I don't know, but it was a ridiculous try, and then they end up getting momentum from that and getting a little try there. And Talakai played outstanding. The kid who marked RTS, what's his name?
Jesse Ramian.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What a job on him. But they kept giving him the ball, like – RTS going, it's like it was under 12. It's like, here, have a crack. Like, you're not going to beat Ramium like that.
Yeah. They it was almost like they had the star player in the under eights and they were trying to force him, get him the ball too much. And I think if it reminds me of how the Roosters can get in a trap with Joseph Manu sometimes.
Yeah.
If the game isn't going well for the Roosters, last year specifically, they'd go throw it to Joey and go do something, right? And that's not how he does his best work. No. Against the Broncos, Joey was unreal because they laid a platform early, both teams fatigued. That's when you throw it to Joey.
Yeah.
That's when you throw it to Roger. Yeah. When you've built an arm wrestle and everyone's fucking asses hanging out, that's when they can expose it. But I've got a couple of stats from – so everyone but Will Kennedy, who I thought was really good as well,
good.
In the back five ran for 100 metres.
That's massive.
And three middles for the Sharks made 40 tackles. So a complete team performance to get to fight themselves back out.
I honestly still can't believe they won. That can just really catapult their start of the year. I think they got the Bulldogs this week.
Yes, they do.
But how they played, like, to get out of that, like, the 20 minutes would have been a barrage for those middles, right? You're thinking, what the fuck is happening here?
Like,
you know what I mean? And then you get out of it, and then by the 60, 70 minute, you're winning.
You get to the 60-minute mark and go, we're on top of here.
Yeah, we're a chance.
How did that happen?
What the hell happened? Like, you got 20% of the ball, and then you get a bit of the ball back, a few little tries here and there, and you're just like, wow, belief starts happening. And then on the other side, like, fuck, these guys won't go away. Mm. They just keep coming and coming and coming. Like, you can build your fucking team on that, man. The whole year on that one win.
They've got a specific style and play already that I think's evident, and it's evident by the bench. Four middles on the bench, but Does it worry you a little bit? I know it worked really well in this game because they powered through. Late in the game, they powered through when the Warriors started to fatigue and lose some bodies. The big boys started to carry through in the middle and really did some damage. Do you worry about Sharks not having a plan B, or do you think
100% I worry?
Do you think they just stick to what they're good at and just try to bash teams into this?
You have three big boys, right? Just one person that can play.
Bit of a hybrid.
I don't know who they've got there, but like they must have someone. They must look at Jack Williams like that.
Yeah.
He's a middle.
So Jack Williams, they think, can probably play edge, centre, like a bit versatile, but majority of the time plays middle.
Surely, but what about a hooker? Oh, yeah, I suppose you've got McInnes.
Ken McInnes.
I don't know. It sort of works, doesn't it? Mm. You can sort of, I think with Jack, he can play.
I'm with you. I actually, like your initial thoughts, I think it might worry him against
give
some
me,
other
give
team.
Give me just one person that's a little bit of a hybrid, a bit more pace, you know what I mean? But keep Hazleton, keep Jack and Finucane, but give me one other bloke.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen when Hamlin Uele comes back?
Yes. So
that's going to jam it up even more.
Oregon Kaufusi and Royce Hunt start.
And the Dolphs on the bench as well.
Yeah, so Royce Hunt and Oregon Kaufusi started, and on the bench was Hazleton, Jack Williams, and the Dolph.
Yeah.
It's who huge. Misses out? Because Braden goes straight back into, I think, even a starting spot. I think Oregon Kaufusi will go to the bench.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be hard because he's great. He's a good player.
They got some power though. So, when you look at some other teams that are a little bit light through the middle, like even Parra and Bulldogs, that I like the rotation, but they're a light team.
Mm.
Through the middle part of the season, when people start getting fatigued, I think they'll really capitalize with that power.
Yeah.
But let's get to the Wires, mate. Do you think? Yeah. Do you think? Obviously, it was a great start building off 2023. Do you think the tries come too easily for them in the first 15 minutes and they sort of fell into a false sense of security like they were going
to
roll them?
That would have had to be the only reason. Mm. I just can't see how you can fall off like that. Like to start off like that, the hype around them, everything like that, and they're like, fuck, it's happening.
Crowd was pumping. Drums are playing.
We're the real deal. Yeah. You know what I mean?
We're going to win the comp.
Yeah, we're going to smash the comp. We're going to get minor premiership. We're going to get a home semi, all this sort of shit. And then the next minute, the Sharks are no. I'm just trying to figure out the mindset and what happened. Like they just forgot the game plan. Things weren't really coming off. Like SJ probably had a bit of an off game. Like those passes when he gets around the back, all those little moves weren't really happening that well.
Tua Picky was really good. Do you think they missed chance Nickel Klokstad on those sweeping plays?
I thought he was good, but he doesn't have that around the back.
The ball
game.
Playing out the back. Yeah.
Where he does.
They nailed that last year.
Yeah. He was their best player last year.
Yeah, he was up there, wasn't he?
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're going to look at that game and go, ah, fuck.
Another problem which could be problematic moving forward as well because he got injured as well. I thought they were really travelling. Wade Egan.
Big
they took
problem.
Him off at around the 30-minute mark, brought Lusick on. They just lost all their rhythm through the middle and they sort of just got attacked through the middle. Yeah, Lusick got a lot of defence his way as well. And then they realised, try to bring Wade Egan back on, but then he did his elbow straight away. So that could be problematic for the Warriors.
He's there, but he starts everything around the ruck.
Yeah.
Like him and Fanua Blake and Barnett have this great combination near the line.
So silky, eh?
And that is gone. Because I reckon I'm not sure how long he's out for, but I think he dislocated his elbow. Could be 4 to 6 weeks.
Didn't look good, yeah.
You know, you don't go off like that and, you know, usually if you strap it back up, it was hyperextended or something like
Lukey,
that.
Lukey, can you have a look now and see what the update, if there is any, on Wade Egan at the moment, why we keep talking?
Yeah, he's a gun. They're going to lose him for a little bit and they'll lose a lot around the ruck. The creativity that he has around the ruck, because he's really like, I thought at the start of the year, like the trial games, I'm like, fuck, he looks sharp.
Yeah, he's good.
You know what I mean? Like now it's like you're going to be just getting service from Lusick.
Yeah, there's still nothing.
Lusick's a good player, but I mean like he's not Egan.
No.
You lose a fair bit when he goes off.
Oh, it's like any team. You lose one of your best players, the person that comes on is never going to be able to replicate that. So yeah, I agree. I thought Lusick really... He's a guy that he's a toiler, but like they targeted him for sure.
Yeah.
And they built momentum through him. Jackson Ford, some really good defensive efforts, but if there was sort of one specific player, cut those three errors early when they were just, they had 80% possession. And then he turns the ball over twice in the first half and then again in the second half, I think.
It's costly, right? It's not about dropping the ball, right? It's where you drop the ball.
Mm.
When you're in the red zone and you're building pressure and all that kind of stuff, you know how hard it is to get up there in the first place? You know what I mean? Like you finally get up there and then you drop the ball, momentum straight back to Cronulla. And that's what made them believe in themselves, getting out of yardage. Yep, they've dropped it. Get back down there. Get back into the grind, right? Because Cronulla's got that team that they can grind and bore the shit out of you because they're tough dudes.
There's nothing better when you're defending 3 or 4 tackles and then you force an error and then you go, all right, we got these guys. They're not going to break us. Even though they'd broken them a couple of times previous, you're like, all right, we're back now. We're defending well. Yeah. And it really gave Nico a lot of confidence too.
Because it fixed you up. So Fanua Blake scores that try, right? And then you're probably questioning your middle going, oh, shit, that was pretty easy for the first 10 minutes of a game, right,
where
you're
supposed even to Metcalf's.
Stiffen up your middle, and then Metcalf, you know, palms off 3 blokes. You know, usually your middles would cover that. The edge would cover it. You're looking at those 2 tries and you're going, there's a problem with Cronulla.
Yeah.
They fixed it on the run.
On the run.
You've got to give nothing but credit, and that's what a Craig Fitzgibbon coach does.
We mentioned his name before. We'll talk about it on the way in. I think the skipper goes off, Cam McInnes, and it wasn't his fault at all, but then Jack Williams come on and he really defended well through the middle for him.
But his runs were good. He was getting there. He was post-contact meters and just standing in tackles, finding his front, just little things like that and getting momentum runs.
Same question about the Knights. Worried about the Wars or they'll bounce back?
No, not worried at all.
Okay. Let's move on to the second game of Friday night. We've got the Storm at home against the Panthers. And outside of the premierships, obviously, Bally's got 3. Any coach who wins premierships, for sure, that's the be-all and end-all. But this record, mate, this round one record, is as good of a record as there is in rugby league, I think.
It's unbelievable. We were nearly there, weren't we? If Munster played, I think I was going to go Melbourne.
Yes. Same. So was I.
Yeah, and then they do this like defensively. Like they kept them to obviously 0, but just the efforts that they had. How good were they on the edge? They were been slipping up lately.
Last year they did.
Yeah,
I've got to give a lot of credit to Pappy. I think it's Pappy. Pappy works his ass off so hard.
Talks very well.
Communication, and look, he learned from the best in the game that's probably ever done it. The reason Melbourne Storm was so great, they had a pretty good coach. They had a pretty good 9, and they had a guy called Billy Slater at the back that just always had them positionally ready to go. And what happens then? You can make aggressive decisions on the edge, can't you, Mace?
He was making them.
Xavier Coates?
Yeah, they were coming at you, man. I thought that's where they were going to get them on the edges. Mm. On the edges, because Xavier Coates is a gun. But Warbrick's still in his second year.
Still figuring it
and
out.
And the centres aren't, you know, like they're not household names yet, you know, but like Nick Meaney played in there. He did a job easily.
I like how they put, because Remus Smith has played predominantly right edge his whole career, but I think maybe because they had Jonah Pezzett on the left 5'8", that they moved Remus Smith over. But Remus Smith looked good on the left.
Yeah. Well, a couple of years ago, he was playing for New Zealand, right? Then he gets injured last year, and then it sort of took him a while to get back into it. Now he's back.
Yeah.
Because he can play, man.
Yeah, he can.
He's big, strong, fast, good defender, good ball runner. Just needs game time. Like, they were good, man. Melbourne were tough. Fucking Nas.
Yeah, no Nasta. So that was another big reason. I was like, I was 50-50 with Munster, and then I seen that Nasta still wasn't even close to being ready to go. So I was like, I've got to take Penrith
Did you take this into account? We didn't even think of it. Like just the flights coming home from England and
I didn't.
You just think it's too professional for that?
Yes.
I was speaking to Rennie yesterday, and he goes, "That's why he backed Melbourne.
Okay.
Because he looked at the flights and like he goes, maybe they're getting sick of each other. Yeah. Shit like that. He's a deep thinker. Yeah. I'm like, maybe they just got beat by a better team.
I think his first point is it's got some validity. It's one of those things that you don't think about until after, but yeah.
Because you're over there for like it's a 30-hour transit. It's fucking huge.
Yeah, it is a big
trip.
You're
over there for a week, get beat, pissed off. You know what I mean? Come back here, you got a week to prepare. Like I know that shouldn't affect Penrith, but might have a little bit to do with it if you're playing against a team like Melbourne who are relentless.
I think it's a factor, the amount of footy they play, how deep they play, how many players play in the Pacific Championship all the way until the end of the season. Yeah. But last year, no excuse. They played St Helens at Penrith in the wet at home, lost, and then they lost round one against the Broncos. So a bit of a theme now. I think they've just been playing a shitload of footy.
Yeah.
And
takes its toll.
And they keep losing players, mate. Yeah, they keep losing star players every year. So just a little bit of an adjustment until they get into the season. I like the change of Liero to the middle.
Yeah.
I think he looks like a better middle. And Joe Chan looked good on
the edge. I like Joe Chan.
Yeah, I like Joe Chan.
Yeah. He's about it. I can tell he's super aggressive. Like if you run him, he's going to hit you. When he runs, he's hard to hit. Like I like him. He didn't get that many touches, But some of the touches he did get, I'm like, eh, he's got that.
Yeah,
he's got a little bit of X factor about him, and he fucking likes to hit.
It was old like man.
His old man.
His old man fucking loved to hit. Anything else that we wanted? Oh, yeah, we talked about it in the preview. They kept at it. Remember we said, why don't they target the wingers more? I mean, Taruva had an uncharacteristic drop straight away in the yardage, but it wasn't really like a planned kick. It was an end over end.
Coats.
But I thought even though it didn't work early on in the game, they just continued to pepper Taruva and To'o with these kicks. With when you got wingers that are 6 foot three, fucking use them. Keep going
and
at
good
it.
Good under the high ball. Like they're good. Not just like just big, but they're unreal under the high ball. So they just kept that. It was good.
Yeah, Coates gets up. He gets that tap back. I'd say now watching – you know how sometimes we have these impressive young athletes that hit the NRL early, like Xavier Coates and Joseph Swalee. Like they played before probably their bodies have
developed.
Mm. I think both of those two players now are in their third season plus of NRL.
Oh, yeah.
And I think –
Coates is well into it.
Xavier Coates would be fourth year.
Yeah.
And I think now they've finally grown into their bodies. Like, you know the difference between Xavier Coates in the last couple of years? And he's had a
he's
few,
like a bloke, it's like when he was at Brisbane, right? He was like
a bit hesitant.
Yeah. But he's like a little kid, but he was 6 foot 4.
He was 6 foot 4. He's 105 kilos. So you watch the game and you go, he should be running over people. He's 18, 19 years
now
old.
Now he is.
Now he's 21. Now that, like, now Joseph's 21. I think Coates might be 22, 21 as well. Now they've developed. Yeah. Now they feel like they're first grade hardened, and there was a clear difference in their physicality, I believe, in the first round.
I feel like with Taruva and To'o, right, in the last couple of years, they've never been exploited because of everybody falls in the line with the centers and the three men. They all run the chasers off.
Yeah,
that wasn't working.
Mm.
Melbourne somehow figured out to get it and isolate them one-on-one, which you never do. That's why they get a free run of the ball, because the center sort of stands in position, the three-man stands in position.
Mm.
They all stand in the right position where you don't get a free run of the ball. You get checked a little bit, and then To'o gets up there because they're good under the high ball. This game, they got to them.
I'll throw
and
something.
I think because the centers weren't doing their job. Like they missed their assignments a couple of times, and that's what happened.
I think – yeah, I agree. I agree where obviously you've got Stephen Crichton, who's really good defensively. At his detail around the game.
Yep.
But I think what's helped them too over the years is you get so many – you get limited options to attack Penrith. And just like we talked about with Penrith, how they can play quite a negative style of footy where they don't want to turn it over. Like teams don't want to turn it over and give anyone seven tackle sets. You really don't want to fucking give Penrith a seven tackle set. So teams don't like to gamble on that cross field kick just in case it goes dead. You get
100%.
You only get, a few chances to attack Penrith, but Melbourne did it multiple times and they kept on attacking, and eventually they got some.
But they put the kicks on a dime.
Really good kick.
Like they were perfect kicks, and the chasers were coming outside in and attacking that way, right? And then just trying to hit it back, and they end up getting some luck. Doesn't really happen. It rarely happens because those guys are so good under the ball, and the detail in the blocking with Penrith systems always on point.
Yeah.
They just missed a couple of assignments and they fucking scored.
They'll be all right. It's their first time that they've – Lukey got this straight after the game. The first time they've been kept to zero. No, it's not. It's a fakey. Lukey's throwing it up. Why did you throw that one? Where did you see that one, Lukey?
ChatGPT.
ChatGPT, you joke.
You need to get off ChatGPT. That ain't it. It's chat. That's all right. We fixed it before we got corrected anyway.
When is it, but? Like,
another
Storm again that kept them nil last night.
Oh, it was the Storm that kept them to nil. Okay. I'm not too worried about Penrith, though. Like we said last year, they lost both corresponding games last year in the World Cup Challenge in round one. And it's still
working.
They're
not going to be as dominant, right? They're still going to be top four, but I mean, it's just not going to be like last year. They were dominant as hell last year.
Speaking of dominant and the physicality, fuck, Taylor May looks like he's going to fill that centre spot well.
That was the try that they had to bring back, wasn't it? Because he was around the back, like with the lead.
No, it was Jerome Luai went around.
Luai was but Luai caught the ball on the inside of him. Like, just it's that fucking far, isn't it? You're making a wrong read there.
There's no way Jerome Hughes was going to make the tackle, and it was Jerome Hughes' fault. Yeah. This one, I don't think Jerome Hughes played up to it. It was just the nature of being in that position. But there's no way Jerome Hughes was going to make that play, whether Lindsay Smith was there or not.
Ever.
But black and white, and I'm happy for the call.
I like it. I like it.
You're happy as
just
well?
Just be consistent. Yeah. Be consistent. But I looked at that try and went, That's just fucking a bad football read.
Yeah,
you just got to, you know, and the coach, I mean, the refs aren't going to do it like that because they're just going to be by the book, right? It's not going to be like, oh, that's a bad read there because they don't know what a fucking bad read is.
Of course, because then you're going to rely on people that aren't us who aren't rugby league people when you've got maybe eight different opinions from video referees that some of them might go, that was a bad read, and others go, nah, like he was impeded because they don't know.
Yeah.
So you make it black and white and it gets rid of any drama. Yeah. So I'm happy for it to be a no try as well. Is this the year that they drop off or?
Penrith?
Penrith. As in, I still think they're going to be around the top four, but
do you
think?
Not minor premiership.
You think they come back to the pack of touch?
Still top four, maybe fourth, third, who knows?
Okay.
They're staying, like,
No, Mitch Kenny as well.
They're good, but their back rolls, they're still like, you've still got Liam Martin. I thought he deserved more ball.
No, Scott Sorensen as well.
Scott Sorensen, I think. Garner was all right. Kenny's a big loss.
Kenny's big loss.
So.
Especially when you don't have
space. They could easily win the comp. That's the fucking thing.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Scary as hell.
Yeah. Speaking of win the comp, the Eels. Against your Bulldogs, mate. The first game on Saturday night. I thought both teams were up for it to begin with, mate. But the key positions were really the difference. I think Parramatta obviously more settled. A couple of their playmakers made some really classy touches. Specifically,
Dylan Brown was good.
Moses and Dylan Brown, and then Gutho and Joey Lussick chipped in all right nicely as well.
They got a good team, mate. Really good team. Very well balanced. Starting Joe Offengawe. And then Junior Paulo comes on, who looks fitter than ever and hungrier than ever. Like Hopgood, fucking Bryce Cartwright, Lane, like Hands, Lussick, Gutho.
Good strategy.
Pennicini, fucking, jeez.
They've got a good team, mate.
It's a fair side,
Let's speak about the rotation specifically because I think this has been a problem. I think a lot of Para fans have worried about this as the season progresses, right? So Reggie and Junior have been required to play big minutes together because they haven't really had that punch off the bench.
Yeah.
So what they do is they start Joe off and Gale with Reggie. Joe gives you 20 of the best, pumps it out as hard as he can. Then they bring Junior on and then they take Reggie off a little bit later at about the 30-minute mark because Reggie can play the bigger minutes. And then they go with a lighter pack. They move Jermaine Hopgood up into the front row. Ryan Madison plays a little bit of footy, and I think that's the perfect time to play it too because that's when defences start to get tired and a guy like Ryan Madison can have some joy as well.
And they both offload the ball pretty good.
Yeah, I really like that rotation.
Yeah, I think they're going to be contenders this year. Mm. Like I wasn't blind to the fact when I said it last week, they're a fucking good team. We just need to be on. You know? You can't have 30% of the ball in the first half and expect to be anywhere near a team like Parramatta. If that was a team of like last year, we'd have got 40 put on us.
I agree.
We still fought, you know. The fight was there.
To get to 20-8 was a massive effort because it was similar to the Warriors game where I thought the Warriors against the Sharks, the Warriors could have been up by 40. I thought Parramatta could have been up by at least 30 by halftime.
Easy, you know. So the fight was there. So they've got stuff to work on this week. Another battle against Cronulla, but we'll review that on Thursday. But, you know, the fight was there. You know, sometimes you just get outclassed. They've got a good side. They've got a good side. Like Paulo and Reg. Reg come out of the blocks, man.
Yeah.
He was fucking pumped a couple of our younger blokes because he should.
In the last couple of years, you've ambushed him as well, the Dogs. The Dogs have got him a couple of times.
Yeah, we've got him.
The Good Friday game when they've got – do they play Good Friday or Easter Monday?
No, I'm not sure.
But I think it's Easter Monday.
Last couple of years we've got him and it's been at their ground.
Yeah.
So they've gone, fuck this. We're coming at you 100 miles an hour and, you know, they got us.
You know what didn't help too? By the time they'd played, all five underdogs had won from round zero to round one.
Yeah, so it's happening again.
Yeah, so it would have given Brad some extra motivation before the game. Like if Parramatta didn't need it for a round one performance against the Dogs, Brad would have been gone before the game. All these other favourites thought they were fucking king shit.
Yeah, look what happened to fucking the Warriors.
Look what happened to the fucking Knights.
Like Penrith.
All these teams thought they were the grouse and they get dusted by the underdogs, so make sure you're on.
It sucks, you know what I mean? Like losing, like round one, especially against Parramatta. But, you know, like they played some pretty good football, Para. Like they played enough football to put nearly 40 on us and we just kept fighting.
I think if Parramatta play like that against most teams, they're very hard to beat regardless. So I thought they showed some real fight. Some guys are really putting their bodies on the line.
It depends how you look at the game too. Like I've talked to some Bulldogs fans and some ex-Bulldogs players. There's not that much positivity around that game.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I'm I'm always positive about it because I know like how hard those guys train, how well coached they are. But like you'll see, hey, some shows will be coming after the Bulldogs.
All right,
well, after the, give it.
Yeah, okay.
Wait till you watch tonight. You know, yeah, because okay. People see a different game than what I see.
Yeah, okay, sweet. All right,
so you listen to guys like on 360 and that. I think they'll have a different
I'm
perspective
looking forward to
on it.
We'll see what BA's got to say, and I'll see him when we do the strong dad as well. Hey, shout out to Morgan Harper.
He looked all right.
Hey, shout out.
I'm happy for him, man.
What did I tell you about Brad? Brad gives these sorts of plays very similar to myself, who are you know, sort of journeyman, mid-tier players to, you know, sort of trying to find their way. He gives you confidence, mate. He gives these guys like, hey, don't worry about the perception or what you think you're good at. Keep your game simple. Make your tackles, get your runs, and you might get a little bit of joy with a fucking nice little first try score of the game. Or
he looked sharp.
He looked good, mate.
Penasini looked good.
Yep.
Who's the other kid? The other winger, Simonson.
Simonson?
Fuck, he looks strong, man. Mm. Mike Acevedo's got to come back. They've got a decent side.
Yep.
Gutho looked dangerous. Anyway.
Let's get into the Bulldogs. Some more details in the Bulldogs. The left edge showed glimpses at the back end. The try for Stephen Crichton, but
just took him 60 it took minutes him
too
to
long.
Get him. Yeah,
it took too long. Yeah, that's my criticism with that. Yeah. You've got that's basically the Penrith edge that they Bulldogs get criticised for poaching Penrith players, but. When you have an edge, and I know Fox went down in the first 15 minutes and sort of threw it around, but guess what?
It's a wing.
You got Carraz over there.
Yeah.
So they moved Carraz from the centres and they moved him to the left wing.
Yeah.
So their edge was fucking Carraz, Stephen Crichton, Viliami Kikau.
And Burton.
And I'm putting it down to Burton. Burton needs to fucking get the ball more and go after the game. That's my biggest criticism of it.
I agree.
I feel like I'm a Matt Burton fan and I'm – like, you know, because I'm
too much talent to have one or two runs.
Because I'm associated with UMass, I get probably more questions about the Bulldogs around the area than I do about Parramatta, Manly. Yeah. Everyone wants to talk Bulldogs with me. And I'm always constantly sticking up for Matty Burton. But it's a make or break season for him, man. He really needs to take it on. He's got no excuses on his left edge. I always worry about the platform and the middles. And there are no stars in the middles, which doesn't help as well. But you paid good coin. You've got a good edge back rower. Mm. And now you've got the skipper on that side. You've got to find ways to get them the ball earlier.
I agree. Like Burton's the key to that whole side. You know, like he, you know, Marnie can throw a 30-meter cutout and hit you on the chest straight on the ball. Have a couple of runs first. Give kick out. Get him into the game. Give it a critter. You got Taff out the back. You got Fox there. You know, you go through the middle a couple of times. I know they had a fair bit of ball, but we still got the ball back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they had 90% of the ball. You know, like, we still got a fair few sets. And, like, you just got to give kicks the ball, early ball. You need to get him involved.
He just needs to get fitter as the season goes on. And he's probably got 3 or 4 weeks. He needs to get his fitness.
Critter
back.
Needs to get the ball. But Burton needs to run, man. He's 6'3" and 100 kilos and can move. He can play, man. I want him to run. He's a ball runner.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
That's it. I mean, our middles can only set a platform. You know, you're only going to do your best against a team like Parramatta. Very aggressive, and we were on the back foot straight away. But we just need to tough it out. That's why you're fucking playing in the front row. You've got to tough it out. Get those quick play the balls, man.
What's the go with Zane Tedavano? Can he play ASAP? Because no, I reckon he'll be.
I think he's just done his PCL in reserve grade. Oh, poor bugger.
What?
I think, yeah. And I think they were going to put him in pretty soon because he's that dude.
Yeah, he is.
But we
that
just
dude.
Need to, like, you know, just. We got ambushed.
Yeah.
We did. We got.
I wouldn't say ambush because Parramatta are the better team.
We know, but they come out with a lot more energy, right? They fucking got it. They got on the front foot, like Reg come out and just bang, bang, bang. Like, fuck, they were aggressive, mate. They were really aggressive.
Yep.
And we just weren't up to it in the first 10 minutes. Didn't get blown off the field, but we just couldn't get any field position, right?
Mm.
It was just one out, one out. Carraz, Blake, Wilson, you know, Fox, kick. Mm. You know what I mean? Just trying to get to the end of the sets, kick, get down there, try and build some pressure. But then they were making too many yards and then they were doing some. Or attacking kicks.
Yes.
All attacking kicks and they're jamming us down there. So it was hard to get that left edge engaged in the game straight away because it was just all coming off the fucking line.
Yeah.
With shit ball. And then we got good ball and then we could go left a little bit. But, you know, you just got to take your licks in the middle and just got to deal with it.
So considering all that and look, we've been critical of Burton understandably. When they did get some opportunities, fuck, they scored 2 tries back to back. When they finally got some good ball. So I think there are some signs. I can understand frustration from specifically Bulldogs ex-players. I think there are some signs that they're improved from last year, but still, is that going to be enough?
We got,
I don't know.
We got 20 to 10 with like 8 minutes to go against a team who dominated the shit out of us. It was 20 to 10. Just say if we had a decent crack at him coming out of yardage instead of four fucking dummy half runs and we actually had a crack at him, maybe something could have happened.
You know what's disappointing?
But we just didn't.
You know what's disappointing? They got back to 20 to 8, but then they still like let another
That's what I'm
in.
Saying. Yeah. But I mean, like, if we had about 6 minutes to go and we had about the ball three times. We had a decent crack at him coming out of yardage instead of like four dummy half runs.
Yeah.
Like, that's when we need to strike. That's why we got Critter. That's why we got Kraz.
You're right. That's where Burton should have got into it.
Get the ball to these kids, mate. Like, get this ball. Like, they want the ball. Critter and that want the ball in those situations. You can't get the ball one off the ruck and expect this guy to run, make a 90-meter break. Because Parramatta's up for it as well. They go, we can't let this momentum keep going because we need to stop this shit right now. Otherwise, they get to 20 to 16 or 20 to 14. Fuck, then we're on for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, Parra would have been stoked. They're playing one off the ruck.
That's what you want as a mid. If you're playing against a team like they go, fuck, they're doing four dummy half runs? Not or four, one off the ruck? Thank God.
Yeah.
Get the ball back, get down there. There's 2 minutes off the clock and then you fucking, then they end up scoring a couple of late tries and it fucked the game. Fuck the game, but it like, you know, just
gave you no chance.
It
gave you no chance of getting back in the game properly. Fox was cleared of a broken collarbone. Looks like it's a grade 2 to 3 AC and potentially could be a month.
Well, for an AC?
I'm not too sure, mate. That's from NRL Physio. So my question is...
Must be more than AC.
Sherry or Connor Tracy to the centres? Kraz go straight to the wing?
I'll put Sherry in, man.
Yeah.
Sherry? Connor hasn't played much football.
Did he play on the weekend, New South Wales Cup? Do you know? Maybe. He did play. Lukey, thumbs up. Is that Chad GPT? He watched it. Did Sherry look good as well, mate?
Yeah, he looked good. He was up against
Hayes Dunster. Oh, yeah. So Lukey's saying Bronson Sherry looked good in the game. Connor Tracy played in that game. I heard Toby Sexton was pretty solid as well.
We've got some good players in that. They've got first graders in reserve grade.
It's New South Wales
Cup.
It's New South Wales Cup. You've probably got more range of mid-tier players. This is probably the difference where you are, like, as a squad, where you've got players that too good for New South Wales Cup but not up to week in, week out. NRL standards. So that's where the difference is. I'm going to go with...
Sherry.
I'm going with Bronson Sherry as well.
I'm in there. He's got so much to play for.
I think Kraz is a much better winger than he is centre as well.
He is, but he's just a dog, isn't he? Like, he got fucking... he had like 25 touches. He just keeps going.
Yeah.
He doesn't stop, but he is a better winger.
All right. The last game was Saturday night. The Titans versus the Dragons. Trials don't mean much for some, but I think it was important for the Dragons. We've seen signs of it against the Tigers. I think the Dragons are going to surprise a lot of people this year.
I think so too.
I've seen this. You know, the reason I say that is because I've seen this style of play before and I've seen Shane Flanagan do this at the Sharks before and I've played against those Cronulla teams and it's the same DNA. Play tough, simple through the middle,
complete
high and at the back end of the half.
Beat the shit out of you.
Get some teams at the end.
Like, beat the shit out of you. That's what they do. They've got DeBellin, you got Fatala Marin on the edge, you got Jaden Sewer. Do you know what I mean? Like, you got some big boys. Mudders Laurie didn't even play.
Nah, and that I was worried about it. So once I seen Foz was out, I ended up having a look at the market. Might have had a little lick as well once I seen Fozzie was out. But when no Blake Laurie, I was like, a little bit hesitant. Pull the bet back a little bit. Gamble responsibly, of course. But...
They look good, man. Sloan, X Factor, Sully, massive.
Like, Sully's in for a big year.
Like Bird, Lomax. You got some old school dudes in that team, mate, that bash the shit out of you. And they love playing that style of football. Little looked fucking mad at 9.
Yep.
Made that great break, just threw the ball to Sloan. He just goes that extra length.
It's funny how like the performances from other players can just once things are made simple and you get, you know, you're on the front foot, everyone sort of goes up a little bit in their rating, you know, like you look a little bit sharper. I thought even Flanagan was
Flanagan
good,
looked good, mate.
Yeah.
I messaged him yesterday and I said, I'm just happy for you to be, you look happy, mate.
Yeah.
You know, like he's a good kid. He copped a lot of shit when he was at the Dogs. So you look happy, mate.
Just not only the Dogs, Roosters, Sharks,
your
cop shit.
Enjoy your football. Yep. You know, you got a decent team over there. You're going to get some wins this year. Enjoy your footy and reach your potential. You know, he's a good kid. He's just, you know, he's playing under his dad now and he's probably going to get the best out of him because he's just doing a fucking really good job there, squaring upright, you know, like hitting early ball to like Bird, Fatala Mariner, not overplaying his hand, letting Benny Hunt run the whole show, little run when he wants to. And he scored himself a try, just little dummy and go.
Use everyone
you
got as
to
a
account, Yeah, you got to account for him.
Yeah.
He'll fucking run on you if you let him go.
He's an underrated show and go.
Loves it.
Yeah. Like he's because he's a proper game manager. He's like he's of the mold of a Chad Townsend and a Jamal Fogarty, but he's probably got a slightly better running game than people give him credit for.
Quicker than you think.
Yeah, he is.
You know, so when he does square up, you got to account for him. You can't just think he's going to dummy and then just go pass it. And that's what he needs to do.
Hitting the logo.
That's
too.
What he needs. Yes, Sir George for life. You know, and I don't mind what I'm saying. If they can stay with that same squad all year, which is hard to do.
Yep.
Everyone played to their potential. They could be a top 18.
Yeah, I worry about their depth. I think you're right. I think they could be maybe not make the eight, but thereabouts.
They're going to hurt you.
They're going to hurt you.
Fucking like that pack, it's like they've got some men, grown-ass men. You can tell the guys are built.
Jack DeBellin.
Yeah, like they're not going to fuck around. You know, you see some other teams. Like, look at the Titans look like a bunch of kids.
Yeah,
the only guy that looked like making Tino. Decent was Tino because he's a big boy. Everyone else looked fucking minute.
Well, before we get to them in a bit, and I think obviously Foz missing is huge specifically for that team because they just look like they've got no direction at all when he's not on.
Do you remember I said that'll make top four?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Bottom four. I meant bottom four.
Before we quickly move off the Dragons, I want to Sloan again. Good.
Fuck him out.
Obviously the hat trick, but I thought his intent defensively.
That's what it is, right? You got to give these kids – you got to cultivate them. Got to, like, you know, don't just give him so much pressure and, like, he makes a few little bad decisions in defense last year. Mm. You drop him. You know what I mean? Like, you got to put up with him and to train him, coach him.
Yeah.
Like, teach him. That's what coaching is. Like, he's got all the fucking weapons in the game. Like, he's fast. He's got great skills. He's got
offensively.
Everything offensively. You can teach him how to tackle, right? It's his body positioning. It's his positioning near the line because a lot of teams are doing this. You see Nanai run that line, right? They're spotting up the weak ones.
Yeah.
So if you're standing in the line there and if your markers bite like that guy yesterday bit at the nine, you hit the guy on that lead run and he goes straight in at your one.
Who was the one? Hamiso? Did they target Hamiso on that?
Yeah, because he comes up and he slides out. So Nanai comes outside in, bang, real late ball from the nine.
Josh Kerr was targeting Drinky a fair bit too.
And that's what happens, right? Yeah. Because you're going to look at those number ones and go, okay, they're there. We talked about it when they ghost,
soft
and their first movements, they got to be straight off the line. If they come straight off there like that, and if the nine can engage the marker, game it's fucking try time.
Yeah.
Because these big boys, trust me, as an ex-big boy, you're looking for little creases like that, little cues, just going, and you'd be doing video all week with the nine going, okay, here's the cue here, he's here, certain positions, the fullback's going to go, the A's going to bite. Fucking bang straight in behind the ruck. They're looking for that all the time now.
Well, the Titans, that's all they had because their shifts were awful. So Tino, who else started? Mo Fotowaka. They were just trying to get in behind the ruck in good ball and they couldn't get it because Sloan was doing a good job. Yeah. I think Little held up Tino a couple of times as well. Some good performances.
That was good.
Specifically Jaden Sua, who I thought was a beast with no Blake Laurie. Let's get on to the Titans, mate. Once Foz was ruled out, even though I was ready on the Dragons. I loved it. I had a little bit more on him.
Who was the favourite for that game? St George, right?
No, Titans were favourites.
Were they?
I got a in the end, I ended up getting – so I got – at the start of the week, I got 6.5 about the Dragons because I was on them. I put my bets on at the start of the week, but then I also doubled down and had another little bit on it, 4.5, because I just thought Foz is going to be such a big loss because they just look lost without him out there. Like, I know he's a little bit older now and he's been a bit banged up the last couple of years. He had a couple of good years at Manly where he was relatively healthy, but even at the Titans again, when he's not out there, like Tanner Boyd must just be a good fella because, I don't know what he offers respectfully. And I don't try to be too critical on players because I was never really that dude. But if I'm looking at the Titans, it's just like – there's no creativity from him at all. Like it's just throwing – it's like their game plan for me, and it was the same last year, and I know it's round one and Dez will try to work on this, but it feels like their shape in good ball is try to get Tino to barge over. If that doesn't work, throw it to David Fifita, who wasn't there, or Jaden Campbell – when he plays, he does something fucking ridiculous, like takes an intercept when someone else makes a break for the other team.
Very one-dimensional, isn't it?
It's like there's no real shape for them for the Titans. And you know what I think they lack? And I didn't understand this originally early in my career. I remember when Willy Tonga got to Parramatta and me and him were on the having a few beverages and we're just talking about how the team was struggling. He goes, bro, we don't have any footy IQ in this team. And that's what I feel like the problem with the Gold Coast Titans is that they don't look like they've got
Boyd, sorry. Like with the IQ, right? I think Boyd is a natural nine. I honestly don't think he's a seven. Like, yeah. And he seems so lost without Kieran Foran, because Kieran Foran knows how to run a team.
Yes.
And I think they miss Fifita because he's so damaging on that edge. And Tino, you know, like, he's a beast, right? But he needs a little bit of help.
Yeah.
He's there for 10 years. You're going to run him into the ground. The amount of minutes that he's playing, he's only a young kid. He doesn't even care at the moment. He's 23 years old.
He's going to run himself into the ground.
Yeah, because he works so hard. He doesn't care. Yeah, they need someone up there. Is a nine the right position? I mean, like, is it Verrills or who was starting that game?
I like Randall.
Randall hits hard.
Yeah, I don't think the problem's the nine. I think the problem's the seven and six. And
yeah.
Look, it's only a short sample size from the Weaver kid. They need to find an answer with Fozzie, I think, in the, whether it's Weaver or it's going to be someone else. But even with the outside backs, like, on paper, Cam Pereira, Phil Sammy, Brian Kelly, Brimson, like, they're so talented. It
how just, do you get them into the game?
It's
through Foz.
It's through understanding the games and understanding and picking their moments. And I just don't think individually that they've got to figure. That's why I didn't have the Titans in the eight.
Nowhere near it now. Yeah. I'm so far off them. I didn't think they were going to look that bad.
Hmm.
Just because of the coach.
Yeah, same.
I was like, Desi's a coach. They're going to look so structured. They're going to look like, you know, like tip, tip, hit the edges, this, that, have a little bit more structure to them. They look like they were that lost.
Canberra Dragons defensively were just so
aggressive.
I thought they were relaxed. Like they weren't under stress at all.
No, but they were just like, because it was one out and they could just like, all right, well, Tino's that dude. Let's get three in.
Yeah.
Fotoaker three in.
Yep.
Then you're not really worried about that much else.
Yeah, I'm with
you. I know, it looks worrying.
Round one, I think the Titans play the Tigers this week. So an opportunity to bounce back potentially. Let me have a look. The Raiders play the Tigers. The Titans play the bye, so they should get a win. They'll be right.
Got the markers.
all right, mate, the last game on Sunday, 4 p.m., the Dolphins were at home at Suncorp to the Cowboys. The Cowboys do an absolute number on the Dolphins. But I still thought the Cowboys were sloppy. Three errors straight after their first three tries. But one thing that stood out to me, Mace, is they had a bit of steel about them. So in the last couple of years,
I reckon,
there was a little bit of arrogance about like scoring their
tries.
In
a good way.
Yes,
a good way.
I agree.
Bit of swag.
So a bit of swag.
We fucking deserve. So we should have scored.
We should be pumping the Dolphins.
Yeah, that sort of like mindset. Yep. Score the ball, not that much partying and celebrating. Get back, next set.
Hmm.
That sort of mentality. Had that real it was good. It was impressive, man. It was impressive, Val Holmes. Fuck, he ran hard. Like, just takes pressure off, like, your middles and everything when you've got a back fucking five guy who just comes off the back fence and takes them on as hard as
just
he
behind
can
the ruck. Like, yeah, tough carries too, those ones.
Take a leaf out of his book, centers. Hmm. Guys like Katoni Staggs, I'd love to see him do that.
Katoni was doing that last year.
You know, like, just he's so hard to tackle. He's that fucking strong with footwork. Against like some A's and B's who are not, you know, like you're fatigued.
Mm. What about the other centre, Zach Labor? Looked all right.
Looked
classy.
Unreal.
What about the little fakey?
Little fake flick?
I've never seen that before. That's a first.
And Hammer fell for it. Yeah. So what's happening? It's just like that. I knew what he was on. Yeah, he was impressive, man. That right side. Nanai, that right side is dangerous as hell. Nanai was outstanding.
Lukey on the other side.
It's dangerous. And Fine then Ruben coming off in the middle. Talmalolo, McLean, Robson. It's a fair side, man.
They went that good. Talmalolo only played the first 21 minutes. He was put on ice for the rest of the game. They didn't require him. I think, do you like that?
I like that.
Yeah, so do I.
If you're trying to get 10 years out of him, another 4 years, I suppose, but like, and a peak sort of Talmalolo might be going a little bit plateauing out, but you got to manage him right.
Well, you're going to require him in big games.
Not sure how banged up his body is. If he's fully fit, you know, you want to get him at least like 50 minutes.
Well, he's been around did you say 11?
2010.
Was his debut, so he's in his 14th year. They were never going to lose that game. I like it. He's going to be required specifically.
Use him well.
He's going to be required around Origin time, so I like that they kept him on ice for the rest of the game because the entire back line, they all ran for over 100 metres. Yeah,
they look strong.
So did Nanai and Lukey too.
But they look strong, you know what I mean? You see some teams that, you know, you're like – you don't question their S&C, but I mean, like, you're like, fuck, what have you been doing all preseason?
Yeah.
See teams like Parramatta, they look fucking big and strong and aggressive.
The Cowboys play the Knights at home next week, Saturday night. 5:30 too. Ooh, that's going to be yucky.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
That's going to be yucky. Yeah, so many. It's one of those games that's not too much to break down because the Cowboys were so dominant. Dolphins never really in it.
Never.
If they're going to win a game, they sort of need a Raiders performance against the Knights. They need to tough it out early, not leak any points, play through the middle, that sort of performance. Well, otherwise,
they've got an OG forward pack, right? Mm. Play to that. I'm not sure if Ray Stone's the answer at 13.
Either. I think he's got to come off the bench.
Yeah, I'd probably start Kenny Bromwich at 13.
Yep.
Ball play a little bit better. Like, I don't know, Ray Stone, but Ray Stone's defense isn't mad. Like, you could put him on the back ends of half so we can just cut everyone in half.
Yeah.
But you're not really going to start him, you know what I mean? Like, because you've got so many guys like Bromwich and that they can ball play as well.
Tom Gilbert would be a big loss.
Yeah, he's a massive loss.
Because you got to remember, man, at the start of last year when they were winning games, Tom Gilbert and Felice Kaufusi were fucking taking
bashing
names.
Everyone.
They were taking names.
Yeah, yeah. They started that whole culture off, man.
And Tom Gilbert's probably got more at this point of his career because Felice was a really good attacker in his prime, but Felice is getting a little bit older now. Tom Gilbert was really good in attack too.
They need him.
Mm.
He's like, he makes 40 tackles. He's like your Luke O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Just an asshole to play against and just fucking great to play with.
Yeah.
And he's got that dog in him and he just go for 80 minutes. He's relentless. That's why he got picked in Origin. He's played like 30 games, got picked straight away because they know what an Origin player is.
Yeah.
Him.
And he had a shoulder recon, still played extra 15 minutes.
And ACL. So, you know, he was going to be one of the guys. He'll end up probably playing for Australia in a couple of years, I reckon.
Uncle Wayne knows about progression and filtering young guys even more. But Cody Nikorima, he was great last year, had a really good season. But they've got to find out if this Katoa kid is it, because Sean O'Sullivan ain't it long term as well. In the halves.
Must be doing something like, I don't know, like, because he played most of the games last year, Katoa, didn't he?
He did, but he got dropped at the back end of the season for Cody and Milf, remember, too? Yeah. Milf played over top.
Wayne knows what he's doing with the younger guys, right? Yeah. What is he, 19, 20?
He'd be 20, 21, Katoa.
Yeah, he's not young anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not, they're not the answer, put it that way, in the halves.
I agree.
So what do you do with him? What do you do with Nikorima? Nikorima's got that X factor. I'll put him at 7.
I like
it. And I'll put Katoa at 6.
I haven't seen enough from Nikorima over the years to say that he can control the team. Like, I think O'Sullivan's probably the better 7 for them. I like Nikorima in the 14, and he's versatile and come off the bench. He can play hooker as well.
Katoa just needs to probably just keep learning how to control games. Mm. That's about it. That's the knock on him. He just needs to learn how to control games and get wins.
I just don't think he's got that temperament. I don't think it's that. You know, some guys like control the team, like even with Kyle Flanagan and Chad Townsend, for instance, like they might be limited in other things where, like, physically, even though we said he's pretty better off the mark than Cody Nikorima is probably physically better than them at a couple other things, but I think Kyle Flanagan and Chad Townsend have got a lot better IQ and probably communication.
It just takes a minute, doesn't it, for halves? You can't just throw them in there and go, control the game for us, mate. Like,
you need 18, to be able to 19, handle it, yeah.
You need about 3 or 4 years, 5 years in the game, like learning your craft. Having great senior players around you, teaching you, coaching you, all these little things. And by the time you're 24, 25, you're sort of set.
Yeah.
I think that's what Wayne's doing.
All right. Overreact on round one. We're not going to overreact on round one.
No.
It's round one. I'm really excited for round two. We'll be back on Thursday previewing all the games on Thursday. See you then.
See you guys.